Blog Talk Radio.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble's face. You won't see him again. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, American.
Welcome to another exciting show with Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. So turn up the volume and enter our chat room, or grab your phones, call in, and join the conversation. Help us to restore the republic to this country and inspire the majority to be silent no longer.
Well, look me straight in the eye. Tell me what you see. I'll tell the truth every time. Yes, you can count on me. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, 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 American.
Well, good afternoon to another exciting episode of Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. Of course, I'm your hostess with the mostest, the radio chick, it's Annie, and the best and coolest co-host in all of BTR, Cool Mike. Good afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon, everyone, on this beautiful Saturday afternoon, 12 or 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And shortly, we are going to kick off the Olympic Games, so definitely glad that everybody is here. Again, for those who don't know, I think it was Monday, one of those days this week, Annie and her Southern Sense show was number one overall on BTR. Cooking, entertainment, politics, religion, it doesn't matter. Sports, Annie ruled as the supreme queen of BTR. So congratulations, congratulations to that. And, you know, on Tuesday, everybody, I went down for Sarge's wife's bereavement, and I sent everyone's condolences. And I couldn't help but when I got up to talk and just say I didn't know Sarge's wife, but we are friends of Sarge. And I said, on behalf of Southern Sense and GGT, I couldn't help but take a little jab to apologize to Terry O'Brien that we sent her on the back page, Annie, because, you know, I'll tell you what, sometimes the world's just got to realize, you know, Magic Johnson had to surrender the crown to Michael Jordan, and here on BTR, new sheriff in town from Beaufort, South Carolina. So that was a low blow, too. Everyone was just like, oh, no, here we go. But anyway, congratulations, Annie. It's you've done a great job with this program, and thank you to everyone, because obviously these people make it happen for all of us.
Yeah, our listeners do. We have to thank the listeners. You know, obviously we're doing something right, and I'm putting right with finger quotes around it, capital R. But I think people are out there, they want a good message, and it's our listeners that really make us number one. I mean,
you know, let's just hope we can keep on that same high-quality level. So I really don't want to let our listeners down. I want to thank everyone that's already up in the chat room. If you're all interested, just the chat room is open, so please join in there. I've just got two quick announcements. Just locally here, our U.S. Congressman Tim Scott, you know, yay Tim Scott, one of the new guys, that new sheriffs in town, tomorrow, this will be tomorrow, they will be honoring the 1st District's World War II veterans at the North Charleston Convention Center. If you want information on how to go, please contact his Charleston office. He provides an 800 number, which is 888-868-0737. Again, that's 888-868-0737. If anyone wants the phone number, just send me a little notice up in the chat room or send me an email. Very simple. Email is southernsense@hotmail.com. I'll send you the phone number that you can call. The other thing, the other announcement, I'm not going to make it. I'm going to let Gary Sinise make this announcement. Here we go.
Hi, I'm Gary Sinise. Please join me this September 15th when, along with the Lieutenant Dan Band, I will return to Buford, South Carolina for the 3rd annual Lieutenant Dan Weekend for an evening of fun, music, and show of support for our nation's military and their families. We'd also like to invite you or your company to join us in showing thanks to our nation's most severely wounded veterans by honoring a hero of your choice with a freedom flag. These freedom flags will be flown at the concert and are a perfect way to honor a special veteran in your life. 100% of the tax-deductible donation for a freedom flag will be used by all the Volunteer Independence Fund to support those most severely wounded veterans of the War on Terror. Myself and the rest of the Lieutenant Dan Band look forward to seeing you all once again this September, and I thank you for your support.
Okay, also a reminder that on September 14th, it's going to be a Friday, September 14th is our Friday show, we will be broadcasting once again live from Cat Island Golf Course, and we'll have the veterans there with us, the wounded veterans that this Lieutenant Dan Weekend is for. So we're going to do another live broadcast with them. So just mark your calendar, circle September 14th. And if you come into Buford, you know, give me a shout. We'll sit down, we'll have a beer. I don't drink beer, but you know, I'll have my scotch, you have your beer, whatever. You know, we'll work it out. What do you say, Mike?
Yep. Well, I say I have a little surprise announcement to make from the Amvets Hall in Traverse City, Michigan. While you are there, I am going to be broadcasting live from the Amvets Hall with at least half a dozen Vietnam veterans. I wrote them regarding exactly our situation. I said I feel kind of naked, and I will be. We have a game, a football game, in that city that weekend, or that Friday night, I should say. So they said they have cable, or they have internet, and they would be happy to accommodate. So we'll be meeting veterans from both ends of the spectrum. I thought kind of add a little mystique to it. So, you know, I'm getting a little jealous, Annie, making the front page and you getting all this. There was a time you said Cool Mike and everyone, like, bowed. Now it's just like you're like Cool Annie and I just like Mike.
I love a man when he kneels at my feet.
No, not happening, NYPD. But, you know, I'm really excited about today's show. As each show we like to, I think we have, adds a special aspect to it. Today, I think, adds a special aspect to a special aspect, having Ed on.
Yeah, we're going to bring our guests on very shortly, but I want to do our dedication to our fallen hero. And anyone that listens to us, and I just like to remind people, every single show we do, we started this just a couple months ago, we dedicate it to a fallen hero, a fallen military hero. And I think it's really important that we do not forget these men and women, nor their families. The families suffer just as much. I want everyone to keep them in the forefront of their minds, because without them, we would not have the freedoms we enjoy today. So, Mike, if you can pull up taps on this one, we can get this one started. All right, this is to Petty Officer 2nd First Class Michael J. Brodsky. Friends and family members of U.S. Navy sailor from Tamarack, Florida, are in mourning after learning of the 33-year-old who died from injuries sustained earlier this month in Afghanistan. Petty Officer Second Class Michael J. Rodney was 33. He died from injuries caused by a blast
lost both legs and was struggling to stay alive. He died a true hero, said his grandfather, Stanley Brodsky. Petty Officer Brodsky was injured on July 7th. He died 2 weeks, 14 days later on July 21st. Brodsky trained bomb at military branch for another 6 years, his grandfather. Brodsky had signed San Diego Bay Navy Southwest Security Detachment since December 2010. He enlisted in 2001 and served overseas in Sasebo, Japan, Beiran, according to military officials. According to family and friends, Brodsky reportedly rushed to the shelter. Firefight. As he returned to the firefight, Brodsky stepped on a mine. He lost both his legs and was airlifted to Landstuhl, Germany, where he underwent several surgeries. I can picture him doing this. Going back to fight is something he definitely would do, Stanley Brodsky said. Since the explosion, dozens of friends and family members kept updates on Brodsky's condition through a Facebook support page set up by Nicole Arbello, who runs a group called K9 Heroes. One of Brodsky's friends, who kept in touch with the family, who flew to be by his side in Germany, and who provided Arbello with most of the updates, broke the sad news. There is no easy way to say this. We have lost MA2, Mike Brodsky, wrote the friend, Chuck Pearson. He held on for 14 days and finally succumbed to his wounds. A second Facebook page, which now serves as a memorial, was quickly filled with pictures, remembrances, and prayers for Brodsky. Arbello, who has written a book about military dogs and their handlers who have been killed in action, met Brodsky through Facebook in recent years. She put together a moving video of her Facebook friend. With all the videos, I made the pictures that included Michael. I never dreamed I'd be making a memorial tribute for you, hero, she wrote. Stanley Brodsky said memorial services will be held in California and plans are still pending. This is to Michael Brodsky, a true hero. Okay, we're going to take a short break. I'm going to put up Todd Allen, Herndon. My Name is America. This goes out to all of our American heroes. God bless. Todd Allen, Herndon. My Name is America.
I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. When I'm attacked, I protect and I'm not be ashamed. If you heard me, I'll get strong. others gave it to me. They believe in the virtues I stand for, my respect for humanity. Now I'm challenged by tyrants who envy my power, but their vicious deeds become my finest hour. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free. My name is America, don't tread on me. I cannot be broken, I cannot be shamed. If you hurt me, I'll get stronger, and I'll rise up from the flames, and I'll always stand proud and free. I'm America, don't tread on me. America is my name. For those who need me, I'll always be here. For those who will harm me, I'll face without
Okay, that's Todd Allen Herndon, My Name is America, and you can find the song up on YouTube, and if you go to Todd Allen's website, you can also download the song. He has it there that we can download it for free. I love that song. Wow.
So do I.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. Hey, listen, we're going to bring our guest on. His name is Ed Denzel, and I have to apologize. When I originally put the page up, I forgot to put the T in his last name. So, Ed, you know, you can excoriate me. I'll take it. I'm a big woman. Welcome aboard, Ed.
I'm a big boy. I can handle it. I can tell you that having that name for almost 42 years now, that especially given that there's an actor out there who essentially has my last name as his first name, it gets misspelled quite a bit. So it's no big deal.
I'll tell you, anyone who likes CSI, Law and Order, oh, let me tell you, they're going to love Comply. Oh, man.
Oh, is that right?
You know,
thank you.
Well, whenever there's, I don't know what it is, but even growing up, you always, when you play cops and robbers, you want to be the robber. But you always love, like, when criminals or whatever are playing the cops and there's dirt and lies and mystique and this, it's exciting, especially when you're reading. It's like you almost wish you could fast forward because, I mean, it just gets exciting as the plot builds. And you're just wondering what's going on. And all of a sudden, it takes a turn that you just don't expect. It's like, dang. Oh.
Well, I appreciate you reading it. I appreciate you enjoying it. Thank you for the kind words. Thanks.
Hey, let me tell you something. Right off the bat, I couldn't stand Detective Locke. I never side with the cops. So Hamilton was one of my favorites, regardless of how horrible the criminals are. I've come to a conclusion I never side with the cops.
Yeah.
Well, when is the second part of the book coming out? This is a part of the trilogy.
It is, and well, I'm working on I'm editing the second part right now, and then for those of you who want to know, the second part is called Survive. I don't want to give too much away, but I think the title alone gives you an idea that for my main character, Michael Locke, things are going to get even more difficult than they were in the first book. So I don't have a date or anything, but I'm working on it. It was written, and I'm editing it right now. And I hope to have something really, fine and finished by like October, something like that, because I'd like to
release it. When I go on, I'm planning to go on the National Review cruise in November, and hoping to give out some copies of it then. And that's in November.
Will that be hard or paperback?
Well, I'll bring some copies with me, but it'll just be, you know, the regular soft cover copies. But it will also be available first as an ebook.
Okay.
All right. Now, people in the chat room are asking, because we're talking about Ed's book called Govicide, Comply. And they were asking whether or not it's a murder mystery. And, yes, it does center around a murder mystery. And the perpetrator of it is this guy Hamilton that Mike happens to like. What's his mental bent on this one? Just do not go into a crowded theater with Cool Mike, it sounds like.
Yeah.
The cop in it is a homicide detective, Michael Locke, and his girlfriend is Jade. But you never really tell us all that much about Jade. She's always like there, but she's kind of like in the background. There's not too much to tell about her. In the second book, are you going to give more information about her?
Well, in the second book, you're going to get to know her very well. I think in the first book, you know, obviously toward the end of the book, she becomes much more of a prominent character because of what she tries to do, not to give too much away. But in the second book, oh, yes, you're going to get to know her very well. I think in the first book, you don't because – you know, Michael is going all over the world as part of his new job as a Govicide agent and trying to figure out, you know, how all these clues add up. And so she's not there. And he talks to her on the phone, but even that's limited because the one world government, you know, follows everything that people say. So, yeah, you're going to get to know her a little bit more in the second book, sure.
Can you explain what Govicide is? Because this is a word that a lot of people are not even familiar with. It's actually a word that you created, right?
It is. It's no different than if you were to say homicide, which is murder of a human. Govicide would mean the murder of government, the killing of government. And like a homicide department in the 21st century that tries to investigate and find out who is killing people, Govicide tries to find out who is killing government. And so they protect the government's interests all over the world. And their job is to make sure that the government is always powerful and people aren't trying to do things on their own.
Which is what our government is starting to try to make us do. Example, Obamacare. Bloomberg, you can't have this type of a soda in this type of a cup.
Right.
But the Govicide
right.
is based upon a one-world government. There's no nationalities anymore.
No.
The entire world into one government.
Exactly right. From and none of the country names that we use now are used, and all of the names have been changed, and it's just one big civilization.
I like how in the right from the start, for those who are actually reading it and paying attention. That kind of the one world government thing kind of slowly starts building. So as you read on, you start realizing it's a one world government. I mean, it's just kind of very, just the way it kind of manifests itself. It's very, I do not like reading. But I'll tell you, there are two books, and this is one of them, that I really enjoyed reading. Plus, I just love just lies and this. It's just so, you know, just when you think, okay, at the end of this chapter, this is going to be solved. Next thing you know, it's like, whoa, where did this come from? Plus, not to mention the girlfriend. Isn't the girlfriend pregnant?
She is. That's one of that's discovered right early in the book, and that's something that they have to tiptoe around because in that world, you're only allowed to get pregnant when the government says.
That's right.
And she is illegally pregnant, and that's something that Locke has. It's one of his motivations to try to figure out Hamilton and the bigger plot that Hamilton is part of.
Yeah.
Because he believes that if he can solve that, then the government will give him a buy, give him kind of a little bit of a pass regarding Jade.
Now, this is interesting because the very first sentence in your book, as you start people off, it really struck me, and I had to stop and read this twice. People have no rights when the one world government is never wrong.
Exactly
right.
Did
you get that from Obama?
No, that is completely original. I've been asked about that before from even the first people who first read it. Where'd you get that line from? That is completely my line, because that's something I think that we forget, that we get so caught up in what the government does, and we just kind of accept it. And we have to realize that, you know what, the government is just a bunch of people too. You know, and so they make mistakes. And you know that you have some sort of tyrannical government and dictatorial government when it never wants to admit to anything. It just says, well, we did it. It must be right. And yes, that's exactly right. Even when they make mistakes, not willing, can't own up to it. Can't do it.
Now, on here, you also have in the book, which I found interesting, that they had a sort of like a government Bible, I think what you called it. But everyone had to know this, and they had to be able to recite it. I found
yes.
that very, very interesting. And it, by root, they actually brainwashed everyone to be compliant to government's demands. Government supplies, therefore, you don't have to look for anything outside of your own little sphere of influence.
That's right.
Everything's provided for.
In this world, you know, you can't have a little garden where you're growing some vegetables in the backyard. And in fact, in the second book, I explore the idea of what happens when people really truly don't know how to survive, you know, to provide for themselves, and they have to do things on their own. And when you start to really just sit down and think about that, would you realize even where food came from if somebody else was always supplying it? And you were taught your whole life that you're not supposed to think about anything else. The government will give you everything that you need as long as you follow its laws, no matter how outrageous. Well, over time, you just forget how to provide for yourself. You don't know where clothes come from. You don't know where food comes from. You don't know where water comes from. Because it's just given to you. You know, you're no different than a pet dog that just waits for it to be fed. It doesn't know how that food is made. It just knows that it eats it.
No, that's true. And I found it interesting because at one point they were talking about there wasn't really enough to eat between the two of them. And they didn't even question the fact that there should be enough for you to eat.
Yes.
And
right.
They just took it at that's the way it is, and that's the way we have to accept it. It's as if government had taken away any will to survive, any will of free thought.
Right. And in that world, because nobody owns anything, the government owns everything. It's all the government. You can't go to your neighbor for something because that's seen as relying on your neighbor instead of relying on some, you know, government official. It gets that complex because with the one world government, it's not really, you know, brought up, but I think you can read between the lines in the first book that they realize is once people can deal with each other, or once people can figure out how to provide for themselves, they're going to figure out that we aren't needed, or we're definitely not as needed as much as we'd like. And you know, there's a line toward the end of the book with, you know, when Locke, you know, is with his partner, and his partner Hiss says, well, somebody has to worship the one world government, right? And then you start to see that the reason they're doing this is to keep people under control, because they
Absolutely.
Want to be worshipped. Yes.
Absolutely. And that's the only time that you mention any sort of a religion, anything relating to religion. That's the only time you mention it. Are you going to bring that up and show the difference between government worship and religious faith later on?
There's going to be some talk about religion. I mean, we get into a little bit of, you know, God in the first book with Hamilton, and, you know, and it's even kind of a, you know, it's supposed to be at least a little bit comedic, where Hamilton says something to the effect of, yeah, this God, this super being, and Locke answers, what do you mean? It's like some human who can fly? And Hamill says, no, 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 not exactly like that, no. But in the second book, we delve further into it because of where Locke and Jade go. And that's something that Hamilton, at the end of this book, Hamilton tells them, how to get away. Here's where you have to go. And it's there that all of this stuff about God and about what really was going on in the past, all of it's going to be revealed, but they have to learn it on their own.
That's very, very interesting. Now, some of the people in the chat room have been talking about, just to get a little bit off track here, about the recent incident in Chick-fil-A dealing with this First Amendment rights. And I found it very interesting. Chick-fil-A obviously is a business that's centered around Christianity, but they don't open on Sundays. They don't believe in, working on Sunday. And he was sticking for traditional marriage. I don't think they even have marriage in your Gov-a-side, do you?
Nope. No, you don't. You just have the only reason that men and women are allowed to get together is to have a child at the government's bidding so these people can continue to do the government's bidding. And marriage, and yes, there's partnerships and things like that, but they don't call each other, the word friend, as you know, isn't even used in the first book until the end. Friends and, things like that, and wives and husbands, yes, it's not part of that, because once you start forming that sort of contract with another person, the government takes a back seat. Well, we know the one world government never wants to take a back seat to anything.
Which is my argument, government defining the word marriage. And government can define a civil union, but not a marriage, because a marriage is a religious right. And once they define marriage as something other than a religious right, they're then defining how that religion will function. And people don't understand. They haven't been able to make that leap. They just think, oh, marriage, that way, I can get into her bank account and she can get into my bank account, if you're gay or whatever. They can have property rights and visitation rights and everything. No, that's what a civil union is for. You've got legal documents like power of attorney and living wills and so on and so forth. Prenuptial agreements. You've got all different ways that you can protect those rights through a civil union, but government is trying to define a religious right, therefore they then control that religion. They're doing the same thing with birth control.
I have to admit, I've talked about this. I do my podcast 5 days a week at thedentsaldomain.com, and I do mostly political things. I talk about, of course, the recent, all the Penn State stuff and some other things, but my attitude, when I've talked about it on my show, I take somewhat of a contrary view as a conservative when it comes to, marriage and these things. And it's not to say that I stand with the gay community either. I've always been confused, and I speak from a person. I've never been married or anything like that, had girlfriends, but it seems strange to me that we as people have to tell the government who we're having relationships with. You have to get a marriage license and get blood tests and all these things. It's funny that I could date women for the rest of my life, never get married, but as soon as, we kind of, I don't know, I guess the cliche would be make it official, it's suddenly all these government things suddenly reveal themselves. It's been my opinion that I don't know why people who want to get married in a church have to go to the government at all. I know that's maybe a unique view within conservatism, but I do also, on the other hand, understand that generally religions don't look favorably upon, homosexuality is seen as being a sin in most religions, at least most Christian religions, and to say that they have to go along with something that is a sin also seems bizarre to me. So I know that's kind of a fine line in there somewhere, but I'm not the kind of person who's going to get excited about a marriage amendment, because I don't think government should have anything to do with marriage. But on the other hand, I don't think that you should be able to call it marriage, because it's a religious it's a religious contract, and most Christian religions find homosexuality to be a sin. And I also agree with that.
Okay, so we're basically on the same boat, and we're coming at the same thing basically in the same way, because you're saying, yes, it's a religious right, and I'm agreeing with you. I mean, if government wants to recognize them so they can share a health care or whatever, then that's called a civil union. And when the government issues you a license, it's for a civil union. I mean, how hard is that to see? You know, do you have to use the word marriage? I just don't understand that.
I don't get it. When I've had relationships, I just don't think about other people's relationships, and I think it's strange that homosexuals, seem obsessed about straight people, having relationships, that they continue to come at it from the direction that they do. You would think it would be the opposite, that they would want government out of their relationships as much as possible, but it doesn't seem that they think of it that way.
It's the same paradox we have with civil rights. All of a sudden, the Republicans were the ones who initiated abolition, but yet the Democrats are the ones who get the pat in the back, and they're the ones that came up with the KKK.
The reason that these Jim Crow laws existed was because some businesses didn't want to treat black people, back going to the 50s into the 60s. And so they got laws passed saying that, it was illegal to go there. And it was all done by Democrats when Democrats did control the South.
Right. Now, speaking of a Democrat and speaking about our First Amendment rights of free speech with Chick-fil-A, this is something I came across with on YouTube, and this is fairly recent. I believe it's just a couple of weeks back. This is Chuck Schumer from New York, and this is what his take is on the First Amendment rights. I'm going to play this.
So I believe there ought to be limits, because the First Amendment is not absolute. No amendment is absolute. Can't scream fire falsely in a crowded theater. We have libel laws. We have anti-pornography laws. All of those are limits on the First Amendment. Well, what could be more important than the wellspring of our democracy? And certain limits on First Amendment rights that, if left unfettered, destroy the equality, any semblance of equality in our democracy, of course would be allowed by the Constitution. And the new theorists on the Supreme Court who don't believe that, I'm not sure where their motivation comes from, but they're just so wrong. They're just so wrong.
Now, he wants to take away our First Amendment rights of free speech, so that way they can control the speech. Gee, doesn't it sound like he's already starting your gov side?
Well, yeah. Well, I certainly tried to make the book as relevant to today's topics as possible. So, yeah, it does. What he's trying to do there is a very common thing. He tries to sound so reasonable, but actually he's not reasonable at all. It's no different than, of course we understand that you shouldn't, of course. We all understand that you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. We understand that. But that doesn't mean you can go further. It's no different than if you have 10 people and you all say, well, hey, let's all go on vacation. Everybody says, yeah. Well, that doesn't mean everybody wants to go on vacation to the same place. And what he's saying is, I'm being very reasonable here. Can't we all agree that something needs to be done? Well, yeah, we can. And we agree that fire shouldn't be shouted in a crowded theater. But some of us, conservatives, we're not willing to go anywhere past that, whereas he is.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you can scream fire in a crowded theater. You just have to know there are consequences for your action. And that's
right.
One thing people fail to realize. Our First
and it
Amendment
has to be true.
Yeah. First Amendment rights, you can say, say whatever you want, but when you do that, you have to be aware you're going to face consequences. If you walk up to a woman and you just turn around and go, oh, you're old, fat, and ugly, excuse me, if she turns around and socks you in the jaw, that's the consequence of your stupidity. Your First Amendment right to say whatever you want is still there, but just be aware when you open your mouth, something is going to happen. For every action, there's equal and opposite reaction.
Amen
to
that.
And that's all it is. As long as you understand that, and as long as government understands that, then we should be reading our First Amendment rights, period.
What's always the hypocrisy in this is that on one hand, they all agree, liberals all say, well, we need to control free speech. We need to control what people say. And they even go as far as to putting it in, you know, curriculums in public universities and colleges all across the United States. But if you want to see the ugliness in free speech, all you have to do is go to college campuses and college universities.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The hypocrisy is what always amazes me. Now, recently we had that shooting up in Colorado. And the first thing that happens in CNN is Brian Ross turns around and misidentifies the perpetrator as the guy in charge of the Colorado Tea Party with the same name, James Holmes. And he makes the announcement that it's Tea Party motivated shooting. Look, the guy who did the shooting is James Holmes, Tea Party. He's up on the web. You can see his video promoting the Tea Party. Excuse me, that James Holmes is a 50-year-old man, not a 24-year-old kid with red hair.
Right.
And no one penalized that man. But if you have Don Imus make a stupid statement on his show, which he apologized for profusely and made amends for, he still gets fired, but Brian Ross still has a job.
Right.
Where's the equality they demand?
Well, that's why what Chuck Schumer said is such a joke, in that, well, we're just trying to be reasonable here. You know, as soon as you say something, well, we're just trying to be reasonable, whatever comes out of a person's mouth out of that is going to be totally outrageous. That's just true. At least, and that just doesn't even go with politics. That goes just with about anything. I'm going to be reasonable here, and you know, something outrageous is going to come out of their mouth.
Absolutely. And what I also listened to when he made that statement, he said, "No amendment is absolute." Does that mean then we can have slavery? Oh, wait a minute. Isn't slavery written into Obamacare? It is.
It's going to be slavery for anybody who chooses to continue to work in the medical field. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, because now they turn around and tell you, you must work and do this work. You have no choice. You have absolutely no choice. Well, the only other choice they have is not to be in the medical field.
And here's, you know, you mentioned the Colorado shooting, which is, you know, just unbelievable. Those things will get worse under Obamacare. If Obamacare is implemented as we predict in 2014, if that's the way history is supposed to go, these shootings like this are going to get worse because people with mental health issues, if that is what this guy has, these people are not going to get the care that they need. It's just going to happen. And this stuff is going to get worse. We're not going to have to worry about the people who have cancer or who have heart disease and everything. We're going to have to worry about if our health, industry goes into the tank. We're going to have to be worried about those people who are prone to violence, and they can't get their medicine because it's going to be a command system where the government controls everything, and they're just going to say, "Well, you know what? You just don't get your meds today. I'm sorry."
We already have that in a lot of instances. I have a friend of mine who had some medication stolen. Someone came into his home as a guest, and what he didn't realize is this person has a problem, pocketed the medications, and disappeared. Well, he files a police report, reporting everything stolen. The insurance company says, no, we can't refill the prescription. We can't replace it. It's already being rationed. And people just don't realize it. Once they get into the situation, they go, what do you mean I can't have that? Well, hello, this is written into the law.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was in the bill.
It's all bad, there's a difference between me getting my, cholesterol medicine, which I take every other day, and a guy who is prone to violence, getting whatever I don't even know what that medication is, is. I don't even know some of the names because I'm just – it's not, part of my life. But whatever he's supposed to get, there's definitely a difference between me getting my Lipitor and some guy – who has schizophrenia getting his. And it's
exactly.
Those the people we have to worry about.
Exactly. Now, this is another thing that government is doing. They're trying to cut back on the benefits for veterans. And what they're finding out now is a lot of these guys and gals coming back that have been in the proximity of these explosions, the IEDs, mortar rounds, whatever, it causes brain injury that isn't apparent at first. And as the person progresses through this injury, they end up having a personality change where they do become either suicidal or violent. And these are things that show up, say, 5 years down the road. And by pulling back...
This sounds like the NFL.
It's same thing. It's the same thing that they found with the NFL, with boxers and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. It's the same injury. They're finding that now the brain starts to break down. There's a chemical breakdown in the brain that physically changes the person's personality. And there's no medication for it. There's no cure for it. But the VA is saying, well, we have to cut back on benefits, so we're going to cut back on these veteran benefits, or we're going to have to charge them for these benefits. Hello, where was the promise when these men and women enlisted to take care of them if they were injured, to provide for the families if they were killed? All of a sudden, government's reneging on those promises, the same way they're reneging on the promise for Social Security for people that put their money into Social Security, invested in it. They're breaking promise after promise after promise.
My attitude, I'm going to be 42 years old here on August 1st, and my attitude at this point is if you believe any promises that the government tells you, then you're the sucker. I'm sorry it's come to this point. I'm sorry. I feel bad, to tell these people this, but it's the VA is just government-run healthcare, and they promised something that seemed reasonable at the time. Once again, that whole reasonable. This is going to be so reasonable, and it's going to sound so great, but it's not market-driven. It's government-driven, and so this. I'm sorry, but they lied to you.
Absolutely, absolutely. And they've been doing that all along. Federal Reserve, there's supposed to be money in there. There's no money.
But,
anyone ordering? No.
But I also want to be clear something, on something else when it comes to, Social Security, and some of these things, is that, I know that these people, want their money. And I know they paid into it for 40 years and all of these things, but we as conservatives at some point are going to have to tell the truth to ourselves and say, it's unconstitutional too.
Absolutely.
And if we as conservatives are truly conservatives, then we shouldn't be taking this money. Here's something that I can guarantee you. If conservatives at some point in the past, you can pick the 80s, the 70s, the 60s, whenever, if at some point we would have had a movement in conservatives where you're saying, Social Security, it's none of the government's business whether I save money or not. It's not the government's job for me to pay it and then it to give my money back to me. I can save that money on my own. I can tell you a lot of these other entitlement programs that have happened since Social Security, like Medicaid and everything else, we would have never gotten to the point here in 2012 when we're talking about Obamacare if we would have nipped this all in the bud. But the problem we have now is that it's too many conservatives. They know they're conservative. They want low taxes. They're pro-life. They're pro-straight marriage and all these things. But, man, they can't wait to get that Social Security check every month. And I know some of them are living on it. All they have to do, though, on the other hand, is admit, you know what, it's an unconstitutional program.
Well, how do you prevent a payroll department from not taking your Social Security chunk out of the paycheck?
We're going to have to be principled. I don't know what else to tell you. It's no different than a person who wants to get off drinking and has to stop drinking. Yeah, they're going to take the money, but you can't take it back. I know that sounds crazy. I know you can't win elections like that, but that's conservatism. You know, I guess you could even say that goes to the point of being libertarian. But it's an unconstitutional program. If we are the ideology of being against things that are unconstitutional, we can't just accept those unconstitutional things that we like because we need to pay our bills. We're going to have to work something else out. Because as long as we accept those things, they're never going to go away. And it's always going to allow government to intrude into our lives more. We kind of thought, I guess, back then that we could stop it at Social Security or we could stop it at Medicaid and feel good about ourselves. Okay, well, we're still conservative. I mean, still, you know, but we notice when we open up the door, the government wants to burst it right open. So it's either we accept it or we don't accept it.
That's true. Now, the only problem is trying to find enough people who are willing to say, all right, you cannot take this out of my paycheck. I flatly refuse to make this donation to the government, because that's what it is. You're just making a donation to the government. I want to take that money and put it in my own savings account. Oh, wait a minute. Didn't Ronald Reagan try to pass a law allowing people to do that? Didn't George Bush later on pick up the mantle and try to do the same thing? You know, personal savings accounts for your retirement, allowing you to choose your investment or your whatever you want to put your money into?
We're going to have a revolution in the Social Security sense. We're going to have to do something like they did when they declared the end of disco, where they did that thing in Minneapolis where everybody bought their disco records to, what was it, the whatever the dome is up there, and they burnt all of them. Well, I'm telling you, if conservatives, enough of them, were to get together and collect all the Social Security checks that they have and Medicare cards that they have and everything, if they truly believe in conservatism, and take them all to the National Mall and light them all up and not cash those checks, we would eventually have a good discussion in this country why entitlements are killing this country.
Well, unfortunately,
if it's not good enough and if you can't get a law passed or anything, then you're just going to have to take more drastic measures.
Well, unfortunately, government has made senior citizens very dependent upon Social Security and Medicare. And what do you do? Throw grandma off the cliff and tell her to stand up?
Well, that's what they're going to do with Obamacare.
And I think that these people have family. They have friends who have done very well in their lives. I, once again, it's one of those things. I say this a lot on my podcast. I say, you know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you have been lied to. But this is unconstitutional and it's wrong. You know, we have a bunch of people in this country who have lived in this country 75 years and they don't have any money. I don't know what you can do about that. I don't know why a bunch of 25-year-olds and 30-year-olds who are buried in college debt and everything have to pay for it, because that's where that money's going. It's not their money. That 75-year-old who's collecting Social Security, getting that check every month, that's not their money. That's some 30-year-old's money, because we're $16 trillion in debt. So you tell me why a person who's just getting barely into the workforce has to give money to a person who's been in the workforce for 50 years and doesn't have any money left. Now, I know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that there are going to be people that are going to be hurt by this. You know what? They're going to have to forge relationships with community groups, with nonprofit organizations, they're going to have churches, friends, neighbors, and that's the way this country's supposed to be. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's what people did before the government came along and told everybody that they could help everybody. We're going to have to go back that direction. The problem is that's difficult. That's hard. And there's a lot of pride and ego and things involved in this. On top of the fact that it's politically a dynamite.
Well, I have a little bit of a problem with this. You know, being that, you know, I am disabled, so I'm looking at it from a different perspective, where someone who is 75 put money in there since the age of, say, 16 or 18, and they kept on working until the age of 65. Now, for the last 10 years, they're saying, all right, you told me if I pay into Social Security, you hold on to that money for me. That is my money that you're holding. I want it back now so I can live. So for 10 years, and that person probably may live only another 10 years beyond that, they'll never take out of Social Security what they paid into it. So, I mean, I have a little bit of a problem with that. You know,
it was a lot.
Give that person back their money. And not,
there's
not
no money. There's no money left. They have to get. We have to even it all up before anybody gets their money. That's why we as conservatives, we keep saying we have $16 trillion of debt. There is no money. I mean, technically, there's no money. So those checks shouldn't even be written because there's no money. That's
right.
What it means when you say you have no money. You have no money. All those checks should bounce. They should.
Well, they're not. And we got a bunch of veterans in the chat room right now. And one is saying he only gets $495 a month off of his VA disability check. You know, these are the guys that are getting hung out worse than anyone else. I recently lost a friend. He had, what was that, the Gulf War syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
He had Gulf War syndrome. I also had another friend who suffered from Agent Orange. And the government, the VA, kept on saying, there's no such thing. No, you're not disabled because of your service. No. Kept on denying them benefits. And even after they died, denied the family any assistance. And I feel bad for these guys, and the government is completely ignoring them. What they're doing to the vets, they're going to do to everyone else.
That's right. And that's why we can't rely on things like Social Security and Medicare, because when they decide that they just don't want to pay anybody anymore, they're just not going to pay anybody anymore. And in Social Security, suddenly it won't be schizophrenic drugs that are rationed. It'll be your Social Security checks that are rationed.
They already did that. They already held off the cost of living increase for several years in a row. But Congress and government employees got their raises.
Yeah.
So, you know, grandma's
just
living on $100 a month is not getting her little cost of living, where she may have $708 a month. So
I look at it this way. You know, I'm 42 years old, and my parents, who are still alive, infused in me, you know, this idea of saving money. You know, and being good with money and never rely, you know, so I don't have to, you know, rely on some kind of Social Security check many years down the road, you know. And that's what we've got. As Social Security overtook everybody, that's kind of what went away. And we need to get back to that. But as long as people continue to think that they're going to get a Social Security check in the mail every month, they're never going to do that.
Yeah. Plus, they have to turn around and tell these million and billionaires, you know, don't collect Social Security, don't use Medicare. You know, you can afford to pay your own way.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Now, your book, Govicide, they can find a link on the Denzel domain, or where can they find it?
They can find the book at Amazon.com. They can find the book at Smashwords.com. They can find the book at BarnesandNoble.com, and they can also find it in the iTunes store. And they could go to, if they want a hard copy, you know, a copy with actual rule pages where trees got killed, they could go to Govicide.com, that's Govicide.com, they can order it there.
I like killing trees. I got a whole wall full of killed trees.
Yeah,
and I have my signed copy right in front of me.
I was glad I told you. You know, Annie. It seems like it was yesterday that we had talked, but that was way back in February. And I told you then that when I get some printed, you're gonna get one. And I'm glad that I was finally able to come through with that. We had a little problem in getting the cover made to, you know, my specifications. Once that happened, it's been pretty easy getting them made.
Now, I used to be a graphic artist at one point in life, and I like the cover. I really like the cover. That's a lot of work that went into that.
Well, what happened there was that I used a guy, and I'll just give some pub for him right now. His name's Paul Thens. He's in Las Vegas because that's where I lived when this all got started. And Thens is his last name. He did the cover, and he's done a lot of work. In fact, I'm sure if you've been to Las Vegas and gone on the Strip, you've probably run into his artwork one place or another. And I really wanted to get a feeling of when people looked at this book, you know, doom, gloom, death, darkness. You know, you recognize a lot of the scenes happen at night. You know, I want it to be like the Darth Vader of books. and that's what he came up with. And within the book, though, itself, that book, my book, is actually a kind of a copy of the manual that everybody has to learn within the book. So the book you're holding is actually the kind of what the manual looks like that everybody learns about the One World Government within the book, you know, and that's the book that is taking the place of the Bible, you know, and God, as you mentioned earlier in the show.
Wow. Now, I'm telling everyone that's out there listening, you've got to read this book that Ed wrote, Govicide Comply, and you have to go check it out. Oh, man, it is an awesome book. And as soon as I finish it, it's like, oh, man, how soon? Please tell me.
Well, I can tell you that the second book starts off seconds after the first one. You know, there's no lapse of time or anything else. So you continue to ride the wave that Locke is on, and you ride it right through. This isn't some type of sequel where it's like the Batman movie that came out, you know, it takes place 8 years later. It's nothing like that. It takes, you go right into the second book, seconds later after the first book.
I think in the next sequel, you need to have a character, Cool Mike.
Well, I don't know if, I can tell you that doesn't happen in the second book, but the third book is written, it's being edited and stuff, but I end up changing a lot of character names and things like that. I will keep you in mind.
Well, I got an idea. How about when Hamilton looks into a mirror? It's my face. That's like
okay.
No, I really love books like that. It's just so cutting edge on the edge, to whereas you really are sure that this is the next going to be in the next paragraph, and it's not. And for those who enjoy shows, you know, the CSIs or the Law and Orders of yesterday, I mean, this is just, this makes for great reading. And as I said before, I really do not read, but I like the e-books. They're kind of quicker. And, you know, you find yourself, okay, I'm done for the day. And you find yourself 15 minutes later back reading. I mean, it's just like you can't.
Thank you.
It is. It's just, it's like, oh,
thank
my
you.
God.
Yeah, you're welcome. As I said, I'm sure I said it when I was on your show 6 months ago, is that when I set out to do this, I just thought that the Tea Party and conservatives and libertarians too kind of needed a new Atlas Shrugged. That was my goal, you know. And although I know that probably, you know, Ayn Rand wrote the ultimate book when it comes to this, I just thought we needed it updated a little bit. You know, maybe put the railroads and some of those things to the side and maybe update it to the 21st century with 21st century issues.
Now, that's interesting because when I read the book, I had to download the e-book at the time. And
yes,
I killed trees downloading it because I had to print it out.
You printed it? Okay.
Yeah, I actually printed it and bound it and I put it on the bookshelf. So I'm glad I got this one now. I can take that off the bookshelf and put this one up. Certain things that you do in the book just reminded me of Ayn Rand, Atlas Shrugged. And it's not that you were copying her style or copying anything she did. It's basically you're echoing the same message.
You know, the reason that her book continues to be popular now is it's just not, you know, it's just not a book about economics or thinking. There's mystery in it. There's science fiction, there's mysterious characters, and, you know, all these things put together. And I think that's what you have to do with a book like this, because if you just hit people too hard with with too much conservatism right off the bat, and you miss some of those elements that make all stories so good. You know, it becomes a little bland. It becomes something, like the liberals like to do when they make these movies that are so liberal, that are supposed to open our eyes, so much, like maybe a movie, I'm thinking like that Matt Damon movie, The Green Zone, that tanked, and then that movie about, the woman who was a CIA spy, nobody went to see those movies because they're too heavy-handed. You need to be able to communicate people what your values are, but you also need to put in all that other stuff that all people, conservatives and liberals, enjoy about stories, and that is interesting characters, good dialogue, a good plot, some good drama, maybe a little bit of comedy, and then mix it all up.
Yeah, and the thing is, yours is fast-paced. You don't have these huge dialogues that last for pages and pages and pages. Yours is short, sweet, and to the point, which is what I love.
Well, I'm going to take some credit for that, but I also have to give a lot of credit to my editor, and her name is Deborah Allen, and she's a writer herself. She's written some novels, but she helped me with this book, and she has a website, Writing While the riceboils.blogspot.com, and she blogs. She does really into writing and stuff. So, and I found her through elance.com, and so we've been friends for a couple years now. But I think she gets a lot of credit for the pacing of the book too, and helping me really get to the essential parts of each scene.
All right, Ed, we got some callers lining up here, and I've got one person who's been waiting for quite a while. Let's try to bring some of them on and do some quick questions, and then
okay, great.
Okay. All right, first caller coming up. Come on, here we go, computer. Thomas, you have a question for Ed.
Actually, Annie, I just had a comment, so go ahead and take the other question.
No, go ahead. Make your comment, Thomas.
Well, it's really quick. I received an email from a friend yesterday about a law that I didn't even know had existed on the books. And long story short, and I'm not going to go into it because of time, but the whole issue of personhood and all this, that, and the other was actually addressed in 2004 with the law that was passed, which said that a baby in the womb was actually a baby, and it has never been addressed in court. So my friend who sent me this email, we're actually going to be pushing this out because it is a law that if it is actually brought to the forefront, it basically causes Roe v. Wade to collapse. So I just wanted to share that because I was absolutely stunned that this has never been really brought to the attention of people, period. So that's all I wanted to share. Thank you for taking my call.
Okay. Were you aware of anything like this, Ed?
I think I was. I think that I have heard about it. I know certain states, how much power they have. I'm no constitutional scholar or anything, but I know that some states have, taken it to the point where they've classified, babies who are not born yet are actually people. Now, you're not going to find that maybe in Vermont or Massachusetts or something like that. But I'm thinking that the state was Tennessee, but this is more than I thought further back than 2004. I think this would have to go back to the 90s, but I could be wrong with that. And it's funny that he brings that up because that is something that comes up in my first book, Govis, I Comply, because Hamilton, at one point, tells him, I can't help you out because, that thing you call a fetus, we call it a person.
That's interesting, because I'm trying to remember, as I was a cop in New York, they had recently, at that point, that was back in the 80s, if you injured or killed a fetus, then you can then up the murder charges to include two individuals.
Right. In fact, I think they did that in the Scott Peterson case, because she was pregnant when he killed her. And I think that they did that even in California. So.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Let me bring the second caller coming in here. Here we go. Area code 214. You're on the air with Southern Sense. Who am I speaking to? Area code 214. I can hear you out there, 214. Okay. I guess if this person's in the chat room, when you're ready to talk, just send me a message. Okay. That was easy. Okay. Cool, Mike.
You know,
I know you got some questions.
I was going to make a comment. And it's kind of going back to some things we were talking about on just how naive people are. And I was discussing with a very good friend. We were talking about all the things that has changed in America as far as when Ed's talking about conservatism and just how Republicans are affiliated with conservatism, but most of them now are not conservative. None of them will really tell the truth. Well, the subject of now that they can fly drones over our own country came up. And this person, after all of this of, you can imagine it was a long conversation, eventually turned into, and now they can fly drones over the country. This person said, but they'd never use it on Americans. I thought to myself, what next? I mean, you know why we're in the situation we're in. Because we got people that continuously say, okay, we'll give Obamacare, we'll surrender all this, but this will always stand. Thinking, how naive do people get?
Yeah, that actually comes sort of like in line with your book, Ed, with the drones now. They want to bring in, what was it, between 2,000 and 3,000 drones, but by 2015 there's going to be something like 30,000 in the air. They now have these smart lampposts that can not only just record a person's face and, you know, using face recognition, they can also record whatever you're saying. They can x-ray your attaché case. They also have now these new vans that go up and down the highway that can x-ray inside your car or your truck or whatever. The surveillance that they're coming up with now is absolutely phenomenal, and it's scary. I mean, we have Big Brother already.
You know what? I've done a podcast once again about this recently, too, before I went on vacation at thedentaldomain.com where I do my daily podcast. And you know, it's not something that I'm worried about today. I'm much more worried about how they could track people online than anywhere a person's going to go in their car. You know, because most of our time is spent in buildings and it's spent on computers. We spend a very little amount, you know, of our time on a car or in a plane or on a train or in a subway, whatever you want to call it. I'm much more worried about how the government can follow where you're going online and what you're reading and what videos you're watching and what music you're listening to. I mean, that's the part that continues to creep me out. I have to admit that the drone thing hasn't gotten me too fired up yet. I'll admit it. Because I'm worried, you know, it's like in a list of 1,000 things, one being the most important and the 1,000th thing being just barely, you know, relevant to politics. Drones right now is about number 200.
Well, you know, also, you're talking about online, but there was a recent article in the newspaper, I believe it was Associated Press had the article, that the telephone companies, your cell phone that you have in your pocket or your purse or wherever you got it, each company has now an entire division dedicated to answering requests for records from the government. So the government goes to any of these cell phone companies where you've got Verizon, AT&T, Altel, whoever you got, even if it's one of these little rinky-dink cricket phones or whatever, they now have entire divisions answering government requests for information. So all of your phone calls, all your text messages, you know, all your pictures you took are being uploaded to the government.
And we have a private company that's helping them with that by the name of Google.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And now the government is paying these companies millions upon millions of dollars. Well, guess what? Are you seeing any money coming back on your cell phone bill? No, you're seeing your cell phone bill rise because now they have new employee costs, new equipment costs and everything else. but you're not seeing your cell phone being lowered. Are you being told by anyone in that cell phone company that your information has just been sent to the government? No. These are warrantless searches, people. Wake up, smell the coffee, and next time you send a text, just make sure you're not, you know, threatening someone, because next thing you know, you're going to have an SUV parked in your front door and a guy in sunglasses knocking on the door going, "Mr. Smith, did you send a text message saying Obama should kiss your ass?" Sorry, officer. I promised to be good.
You know, well, the problem is that too many people, they get online and they see these ads that just happen to be related to them. And they think, well, man, that's a heck of a coincidence that I would come to this website. And here's a place that's a business in Madeira Beach, Florida, which is where I live. And here it is. It just happens to be on that site. Well, the reason it's on its site, because if somebody from South Carolina goes to that site, they see an ad from South Carolina. If you're from somebody from Pennsylvania, you know why? Because they can track your IP address.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When you go online now, folks, your web company, whoever your service provider is, or if you use Google or Yahoo or anything like that, they track the information that you input, and then they determine, oh, this person likes horses. Oh, this one likes kittens. This guy likes, ooh, those naughty nighties on those women. And now they tailor those ads pop up. And what's even scarier is now they have billboards that will turn around and recognize you as an individual and say, oh, this person falls into this sort of a category. This is the ad we're going to pop up for them on the billboard as they walk past. It is scary stuff. This is Big Brother at its worst.
Yeah, people are seeing that they're being tracked. They don't know that they're being tracked.
Well, and
they see the result of it, and they think it's just coincidence, and it's not.
No. Mike, you were saying something?
They'll also argue with you that that's not so. They'd say, like, well, you're wrong, and you'd be like, how is it a weird coincidence? People just have no clue. And the reason is because the majority of the people are stupid, not naive, not misled or wrapped up in America. They're just stupid people. And, you know, keep in mind, throughout the history of the dictatorships, most of these people were voted in office before they became dictators. And they were voted in by stupid people. And think of just in the past, think of, say, from 1913 with the Federal Reserve up until 1999, where we're at. Think about from year 2000 to right now. I mean, it has almost been in less than 15 years. We have just surrendered multiple civil liberties, and we've done nothing to try to take them back. We're almost encouraging government because it makes us feel safer. That's how stupid we've become.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I in doing my re-editing of Go Aside Survive, the second book, one of the things I'm doing now to assist me is I'm reading the Federalist Papers, because they play a hint, there's a giveaway right there, they play at least a little part in the second book, the Federalist Papers, and it's hilarious that I'm reading them right now, and they talk about how, you know, Hamilton and Madison and John Jay, they talk about how the reason the federal government is going to be so good is because we will have the best of all the states being represented, the best people in all of the states being represented.
Barney Frank.
Yes. It's a little funny now. Now, I'm sure when these were done, what was it, 1781 or whatever it was, it seemed like a nice notion. But to read it 200 and, you know, some years later, it's a little funny when these guys start saying, well, the people, the guys they're going to send to Washington from each of these states are the best these states have to offer.
Nancy Pelosi.
that's kind of funny.
Yeah, that is funny. And oh, hint, if anyone wants to send the radio chick a gift, my cat threw up on the Federalist Papers and I had to throw the book at. Hint. Christmas is around the corner. Well, Ed, we've been having a fantastic time. We got about 10 minutes left.
Okay.
Again, Just tell people again where they can get your book, Govicide Comply. And I'm telling you guys, you've got to pick this book up and you've got to read it.
You can find it at Amazon.com. You can download it to your Kindle from there. You can get it at Smashwords.com. That seems to be right now be the most popular way that people are getting their hands on the book. You can download it there to your favorite reader. It doesn't matter. Download it in a multiple variation of formats. You can get it for your Nook at BarnesandNoble.com, and you can get it in the iTunes store as well. If you prefer a hard copy, like the one I sent to Annie, you can go to my site, Govicide.com, Govicide.com, and you can order it there.
All right, I'm putting up that side there. Okay, and your website, for your personal broadcast?
The website that I use for my podcast that I do 5 days a week, unless I am on vacation, which I was for the last 2 weeks. I went to the People's Republic of Canada for a week and then went back to Pennsylvania, where I'm originally from. But it's called The Dental Domain, all one word. That's thedentzeldomain.com. You can listen to the podcasts there. They're generally between 25 minutes and 30 minutes long, or you can download them from iTunes, and I also have a site at Podomatic.com as well, and I talk about mostly political stuff, but I get into a little bit of sports, a little bit of entertainment there also.
Yeah. Speaking of sports, you had mentioned Penn State. You know, I was checking out the stuff, and they got hit pretty hard with some of the fines, but I actually think it was a fair deal they got. People are saying, oh, you're punishing people that had nothing to do with it. No, you're punishing the hierarchy of the school for failing to protect children. And it's kind of nasty stuff that went on there.
It was, and I'm from Western Pennsylvania, so people from Western Pennsylvania tend to be, you're either like a Pitt fan, you know, University of Pittsburgh, or you're a Penn State fan, which is, of course, in the middle of the state. And I have to tell you, I've never been a Penn State fan, and I've definitely never been a Joe Paterno fan, and I may get that from my dad, who has always been into football. He was a high school football coach, played football in college, and I think that he passed on to me this being very suspicious of Joe Paterno. And I have to say, neither my dad nor myself were very surprised when this stuff got, what the topic is, you know, child molestation and everything, was of course very surprising to us. But the Joe Paterno would, you know, just blatantly ignore information regarding this was a surprise, but that he did this all to protect his football program and everything was not a surprise. Not a surprise at all. Of course, we have all those Penn State apologists out there who, I mean, to the point where Franco Harris, you know, who went to Penn State, says he read the free report, and it even makes him think more of Joe Paterno. It's crazy. And, in fact, my podcast at thedentsaldomain.com this morning was about that very topic.
Okay.
And, you know, people don't like the NCAA get involved, but, you know, they don't want the state governments involved, and I have no confidence that Penn State can police itself. So what are you going to do?
Well, I have my let me weigh my two cents in on here. Number one is I don't agree with what the NCAA did. I totally disagree with Annie, but they did join the NCAA, and when you join a group and you agree to surrender everything to this group, hello everyone, is this ringing a bell? They can do whatever they want. So guess what? Don't agree to join the group. Secondly, I think most people in Pennsylvania are neither Panther fans or Nittany Lions. Pennsylvania is one of the largest Roman Catholic Notre Dame fans around. And they also
There's
have
a lot of
high school football there. And Joe Paterno, Joe Paterno has always had a reputation, but Joe Paterno has always been an arrogant asshole. And the bottom line is he portrays – Here's the situation. In many circumstances, and this is kind of cold, but it's true. Joe Paterno is fortunate he's not here, because if there's an awful lot of other intangibles involved in this, that now that he's gone, he could have turned that university upside down with the information that he has not only concealed, not just to this horrible crime, but other things that Penn State has been involved in for years and years, but they never touched Joe Pa because he was some sort of symbol. So the bottom line is, you know what, you don't want to surrender your civil liberties, don't join groups or agree to be part of things, which Penn State did. And I think those crimes, I was Jerry Sandusky's biggest supporter while he was on trial, because we are innocent until proven guilty. If a court of law finds you guilty on 45 of 48 counts, only a moron can believe that this man is not guilty. And that's my.
Well, his wife's still in denial. I saw a headline on ESPN.com that you don't know the real, you know, you don't. That's not who my husband is. You know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I read that. I read that yesterday. But as always, Ed, you are an awesome guest, and your book is just I don't even know how to say, but it's a great book, and I'm going to pimp it out on my Facebook too again.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, Ed. Thank you so much, and I do want you to come back again. Okay.
Oh, by the way, before
you know what, cool. You know what, cool, Mike. Why don't you email me your address? I'll send you a copy.
All right, guys.
Just like I said, Annie, I want to send you a copy. So email me after the show whenever you can. You know, on Blog Talk or my email, and I will gladly send you a hard copy. I'll sign it.
Awesome. And Ed, just before we go, I'll let you know. I don't know if you've heard this announcement. Annie is the number one listened to for a whole day on Blog Talk Radio. Nobody had more downloads than she did. For a whole day overall on Blog Talk, she was the queen. So we might be asking for her autograph someday.
I heard that at the beginning of the show, and I was suddenly thinking, well, maybe I should have, like, put on a suit and combed my hair before I did this interview today. I'm in the presence of a queen.
Yeah, what? So, 36,000 downloads in less than a day? Was that?
It's almost up to 50,000 right now.
You know, Ed,
very well earned. Well earned.
Ed, you'll be like, where's Cool Mike? And she'll be like, I had to let him go. So anyway, thank you, Ed.
You're welcome.
All right. Thanks, Ed. We'll be talking later.
Great being on. Thank you for inviting me, Annie and Cool Mike. Thank you.
Yeah. Anytime, Ed. Sure. All right. Hey, Mike, we're down to our last 3 minutes here, but we're going to have a great, great show next week. Next week, we've got a doubleheader. We've got a conservative rocker, Chris Holly. He's performed with opening for Hootie and the Blowfish and so on and so forth. He's out of Charleston, South Carolina. Plus, we're going to have running for U.S. Senate out of Florida, Dr. Dave Weldon.
Oh, yes, Dr. Weldon. Oh. That's Tuesday?
That is this coming Tuesday, the 31st.
Do we have a guest for Friday?
Not yet.
Okay, I think I'm going to have someone. Quick review as we wind down in the last few minutes. I want to get this guy on who is actually running for state rep in my state. Long story short, he's running against basically a crook, and the party is supporting him, is supporting the crook. This guy's not only been caught, but I mean, like, but anyway, I'm hoping
a Democrat.
So anyway, no, it's actually he went from a Democrat to a Republican. But anyway, we'll get into that another time. As always, our condolences to Sarge, our loving memory of our petty officer Brodsky, and Annie. Congratulations, you are well deserved. This was you have worked very hard at this program, and you know what? You deserve every accolade. The queen of Blog Talk Radio, ladies and gentlemen, Annie Ubelis. God save the queen.
Thanks. Oh, God. Oh, now I'm probably bright red. Probably bright red.
Yeah, we have Tesla's show tonight as well as the opening ceremonies of the Olympics, and there is no conservative prime time tonight. We're taking off tonight. So anyway,
right. I think Doc Jones also has a show on tonight too. So if you check out the situation report with Doc Jones, anyone out there with the show, just feel free to put it up in the chat room so people know where to find you. I'm not ashamed to have you do that up there. So what I'm going to say is have a safe, happy, and healthy weekend. Just please, God bless, be safe out there this weekend. And until then, we'll see you here on Tuesday, same bat time, same bat station. So have a good night,
everybody.
Good night, everyone.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble.
You've been listening to Southern Sense Blog Talk Radio. Producer and your hostess extraordinaire is Ann Ubelis. The theme music, American Stand Up, is written and performed by Don Fortney. For more from Don, check out his webpage, teapartymusic.webs.com. Southern Sense is a proud member of Ghost Fighter Radio and Freedom Media Network. Southern Sense is common sense. Take it out, Don. American.